Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 101. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using propofol for toxin-related seizures, answer the drug information question, should SSRIs be stopped in a patient with GI bleeding, and share a resource for critical care-related information. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode101. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. A huge thank you to the hundreds of listeners who responded to my 2016 audience survey. I've received tons of great ideas and kind and encouraging words. The brief anonymous survey is still available for a short time at pharmacyjoe.com/survey. The article I'd like to share in this episode is titled Propofol Use for Toxin-Related Seizures. The lead author is F. Lee Cantrell, and this was published in Pharmacotherapy June 2016. This article is a review of records from a poison control center. For some reason, I've been finding a lot of these articles lately. I think this type of article is a great way to publish real-world experience to help inform clinicians in areas that are not well studied. Propofol is FDA approved for use as a sedative, but it also has anticonvulsant properties. Whether propofol is effective as treatment for toxin-induced seizures is unknown. The author sought to characterize the use of propofol for toxin-related seizures as reported to a statewide poison system. The study was a retrospective review of the electronic records from the California Poison Control System from 2009 to 2012. Patients were included if they were 18 years or older, and their record was coded with seizure and contained the term propofol. The authors collected patient age, sex, reported toxins involved, recurrence of seizure activity following or during propofol use, and mortality data. 235 poison patients who received adjunctive propofol therapy were included in the review. The age range was 18 to 82 years, and 53% of the patients were female. A total of 155 different toxins were reported. Recurrent seizures occurred in 15.7% of cases following propofol administration. The mortality rate was 6.8% in cases with known outcomes. The authors concluded that propofol is being used as an anticonvulsant in poison patients and appears to have some utility as an adjunct in terminating toxin-related seizures once airway control has been established. Less clear, however, is at what point propofol therapy should be initiated. Prospective controlled studies are warranted to identify the role of propofol in controlling toxin-induced seizures. Several case reports of successful propofol use for toxin-related seizures are referenced within the article. It should be noted that with all patients in this study, propofol was never used as monotherapy for seizure. It was always an adjunctive therapy. Also, all but one of the 235 patients was intubated at the time propofol therapy was initiated. Curiously absent from the study was any speculation that the lipid emulsion vehicle that propofol is delivered in might have played a part in the 84% efficacy rate. Lipid emulsion does reverse the cardiac and CNS effects of local anesthetic systemic toxicity. The most common toxin in the study population was bupropion. 33 patients had that reported as a toxin, and that was also the toxin in the first non-anesthetic case report of lipid emulsion for reversal of cardiac toxicity. The drug information question for this episode is, should SSRIs be stopped in a patient with GI bleeding? And my answer is maybe, if they're still bleeding. This is a recent question I had posed in the Pharmacy Nation Slack group, which you can sign up for at pharmacynation.org. So shout out to me for the question and to Pharmacy Pamela, Pharmacy Renee, and Pharmacy Aaron for helping me to answer it. I encountered a patient with a GI bleed on hospital day 2. They were on clopidogrel and escitalopram at home. The clopidogrel was held on admission for the GI bleed, but the escitalopram was given on hospital day 1. For some unknown reason, the patient had not been made NPO. On hospital day 2, the patient was having continued GI bleeding. The discussion in the Slack group involved whether it was worth causing withdrawal by stopping the SSRI, if the bleeding was recurrent or not, in this case it was, whether to switch off of escitalopram after the patient stabilized. Pharmacy Aaron provided a great article relevant to the discussion. It's from 2007 and it's titled Influence of Antidepressants on Hemostasis. And I have it linked up in the show notes. Again, that's pharmacyjoe.com/episode101. The resource for this episode comes from Life in the Fast Lane. Life in the Fast Lane's Critical Care Compendium is a comprehensive collection of pages concisely covering the core topics and controversies of critical care. At the Life in the Fast Lane website, there's a searchable index of the compendium of critical care topics. Each page has references linked and a reviewed and revised date, so you can get a sense of how current the information might be. Don't forget to take the audience survey at pharmacyjoe.com/survey if you haven't already. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.